The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020. A glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
Shall we take our Bibles? Let us quickly remind ourselves of what we are studying. We are looking at Psalm 34. Especially from verse 11 through to 15. Psalm 34 from 11 through to 15. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desire to see many good days, what should a person do? The person should keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking lies. The next verse said, attend from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. So if you want to see life and many good days, the first suggestion that David gave was that you keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. The second is to turn away from evil and do good. The third is to seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. We have been looking at the first one. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. We spoke so much about keeping the tongue from evil. It is very important because of the nature of the tongue, what it can do. We always have to try and tame it, especially in times like this when we have gone to an election and the results have been announced and a group says that they don't want to accept it. If you are a Christian, try to respect the law. And so whoever is standing in for us in the country, if he declares it, whether he belongs to party A or party B, stay within the confines and the love for the nation. You may have your own ideas, but that is what we have now. If the other party package themselves and they want to go to court and they go to court and the result is overturned, then whatever the nation says, we come back and back it. That is how we work as a nation. One vote has been counted and the results has been given. And so that is how we have to behave. We have to keep our mouths from evil and our lips from speaking lies. James chapter 1 verse 26. James chapter 1 verse 26. James still makes a very powerful statement here. And I want us to pay attention to it as we continue with keep your tongues from evil and from telling lies. Those who consider themselves righteous and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. If you consider yourself to be a Christian and you are not able to control your tongue, according to James, you deceive yourself and your religion is worthless. That is how James sees people who are careless with what they say. So when we examine the righteous man Job, we realize that Job was able to bridle the tongue and that he had control over the tongue to the extent that he actually set boundaries for the tongue as to what the tongue will say and what the tongue will not say. As long as he lived, he made sure that the tongue never said anything evil about anyone. Now, when we were closing, we touched a little bit on lies. We touched a little bit on lies. But today, I want us to dwell more on that one. Lying. Dwelling more on lies. So, if you want life and to see many good days, he says that keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. When we talk about a lie is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. Many times we can make false statements out of ignorance. But when you make a statement with an intention which is deliberate to deceive, then that is a lie. So that is a lie. So when you are talking about a lie, we are saying that a false statement, the statement you have made is false. But what makes it so serious and a lie is that it has an intention to deliberately deceive. And that one makes it serious, a lie. An intentional untruth. When we talk about lie, lie is an intentional untruth. You are saying that which is untrue, but you are doing that on purpose. And that is a lie. Lie is a falsehood. A falsehood. Deceitful speech or deceitful action. Now, normally when we talk about lying, our minds go to deceitful tongue. The deceitful tongue. Or the deceitful speech. When we talk about lying, we think it is only with the mouth that we lie. We think of the spoken word. But words are both spoken and written. We lie in both word and deed. When we are lying, you may write it or you may speak it. Sometimes you get a proposal well written, but it is full of lies. And with an intention to deceive. So we lie both by word and by deeds. So by words, our action, and by what we say. We lie in our actions and we lie in our words. Now, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Let's read Luke chapter 22. We'll start from verse 3 and then through to 6. And then we jumped to verse 47. Then Satan entered Judas. Luke 22 from verse 3. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, one of the apostles. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. Now, the most important word there for me is how. He discussed with them the method. So he is going to deceive. He is going to tell a lie. But he is looking at the method to use. So I'm saying that when we are talking about lies, it is not only one method. We lie not just only with our mouth. We can also lie by our actions and by our deeds. So let's continue reading about this man, Judas. Verse 5 says that they were delighted and agreed to give him money. This is from Luke. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. So he is trying to devise a how. And then verse 47. The opportune time now came in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's read from verse 47. Shall we read together? Ready, go. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. Approached Jesus to kiss him. Now verse 48. Let's listen to Jesus. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, Matthew says this. Matthew 26, 48 says, now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. Now, when he was coming to Gethsemane, he had arranged a signal, what he is going to use to actually betray or let them know who Jesus is so they can arrest him. So he arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi. And kissed him. Now that is very serious. This man is kissing, but in his heart, he's actually stabbing him at the back. And so we lie by words and deeds. Normally when you kiss, it is a sign of love. But this one, he is kissing, but he actually hates the man. And so he is kissing with an intention to deceive. Just imagine, say, Rabbi, teacher, greetings. And he's going to kiss him, But that is a signal that he has arranged. And so we must all watch our actions and our words. The God up there, he reads our motives. He knows your heart. The human being is so smart. We are all able to stand outside our actions. We'll be doing certain things, but you yourself, you are not involved. You are only doing it like Judas. The real intent is to betray, but he is kissing. So he is kissing. You see the human being kissing, but he himself, his heart is different. His heart is different. His heart is different. Let me remind you again that a lie is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. An intentional untruth, a falsehood. Now people lie on paper. They tell lies on paper. Not with their mouth. Over invoicing and under invoicing. We do all these things in our nation. And sometimes all of us are involved. And we think that this will not help us build a glorious church, because the glorious church is you. We over-invoice, we under-invoice. It happens in companies. It happens in institutions. I pray that the Lord will have mercy on us. So when you have not used your mouth and you use your pen, it's the same. False receipts. We attach to PVs. False receipt. There was this man who went for a blank receipt, just a sheet, from this trader. He went there, asked him, because he's a friend, that give me just a blank receipt. So what are you going to do? So you give me one. Because auditors are coming to audit him. And he knows that he has squandered the money. So he goes for this blank receipt and then fill it, sign it, and then attach it to the PV. So when the auditors went to him and they said, what is this? They thought that there was something fishy about the transaction. So they picked the receipt and then they traced the institution and then they went to it. And then the man said, you see, this is my name on the paper. It is my receipt. I know. But all that is written on it is not from me. In fact, somebody came here and said he needed a blank receipt. And this signature is not mine. And then he mentioned the name. And they realized that it is a very somebody, that same person. So he went for a blank receipt, filled it, and attached it. He is not lying with the lips, but he's lying in action. He's lying in action. False claims and false proposals are all lies. False quantities to inflate price. Oh, many people, you ask him, please give me some quantities. And then if he's an electrician, he will do it like that. It is times five. So that when you sit down, you are giving the quantities, it is times five. So you have given him five times what he needs. And then if he sometimes is a Christian and he's working for you, he says that, oh, pastor, you see, I will not take anything. I will just do it for free. But he has lied in the quantities. And then he has again lied with his mouth, telling the pastor that, you see, this is my church. I love my church. I will not take anything. Meanwhile, he has taken five times. That is why we need to control human beings by trying not to assault, but trying to let people bid. Let them bid and bid and bid. And then you see, you can sometimes read between the lines. Human being is smart. Human being is smart. But when you do this, it is called greed. Most times, lies are motivated by greed. Sometimes it is motivated by fear. Other times it is motivated by wickedness. Sheer wickedness. And they do that with some intention. But greed is idolatry. Colossians 3 verse 5. Greed is like serving an idol. Colossians 3 verse 5. Shall we read together? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So greed is idolatry. So let us not be greedy. Be content with what you have. And let us be plain, because the God out there reads our motives. In the story of Jacob and Esau, it is one of the most interesting stories in scripture. How Jacob snatched the birthright and subsequently the blessing from his brother, aided by the mother Rebecca. Smart moves. Very, very smart moves. The human being has been smart from Adam. The human being was created to control the earth, but not to use that grace that God gave him to deceive others. Not like what Jacob and the mother did. Now, Jacob and the mother, when the mother overheard the father talking about blessed Esau, the mother said, no, I'll give this to my beloved. Then he went, leaked the information that this is what I've heard your father say. So quickly, let me prepare something for you. And then before your brother comes back from the forest, you would have taken the blessing already. And Jacob said, no, that will be dangerous because my old man can curse me. He says that, my friend, stop that. Let the curse come upon me. Smart. Get me something. Let me prepare food for you. That is a whole mother. Whole mother. Aiding with lies. Then the young man asked the question again. How are you going to do it? Because between me and my brother, we are so different. Even though we are twins, we are not identical. Besides, this young man, my brother is hairy and I'm not. Say, that is not your problem. You leave that one to me. He finished preparing the food, and the goat hair, the skin, he wrapped it on the boy, wherever it will be exposed, like the hands and the neck. And then he went and fetched Esau's shirt for him, his dress for him. Now this young man goes to the father. Then the man says that you have come too early. Then he says that the Lord God, whom you serve, actually blessed me. So when I got to the forest, within a second, I got something. Then the man said, fine. But what is your name? Because as he listens to the voice, he knows that this one is like Jacob. And then he says that it is your son, Esau, dad. So, okay. The man was still confused. And at that time, he couldn't see well. So then he says, come closer. So he's going to use another test to him. That is the acid test. He was going to touch, feel him. Then when he felt him, he realized that it looks like Esau. But he was still not convinced. Then he said, come closer so that I will hug you. The intention was that he was going to see if he could get the scent, the smell of Esau. Because this is how parents get to know the difference. We all know if you are close with your wife, unless you have been fighting. Otherwise, when you are even asleep and your wife is walking, you can, even in the sleep, you can dream that your wife is walking. Sometimes we have about 13 people in the house. But every one of them, when they are walking, their steps come differently. So he says, come closer. Because the mother has changed the shirt. He's wearing the shirt of Esau. So the father said, this is the voice. It's Jacob's voice. But all the others represent Esau. Anyway, let me eat and let me bless you. So in this Jacob and Esau story, it is a combination of words and actions just to deceive and to tell lies. And that is very dangerous. He took the blessing and God was not happy at all. So God had to meet him again one day and ask him, what is your name? And he said, I'm Jacob. Say, you have told the truth. 21 years before, you said you were called Esau. Now, why did he ask him, what is your name? It means that that deception, God was not pleased. There is nothing that goes unnoticed. Whatever you have done today, God has recorded it. And today, I want you to reverse it. With the mouth, we confess unto salvation. With this same mouth, there are certain things we do, and you put yourself into bondage. Today, I want us to release ourselves from any bondage by doing what is right and confessing truth. Confessing truth. You see, we lie by fabricating stories, motivated by, like I said, greed, fear, and sometimes sheer wickedness. When Jezebel wanted to take Naboth's vineyard, because the husband couldn't take that, because Naboth told him that this one, it belongs to my fathers, so I cannot sell it to you. No matter how big the price is, it does not belong to me. It is an inheritance. I should leave it for my family. Ahab went home, not too happy. But Jezebel thought that that is not how a king should behave. So with Jezebel then writes a letter, takes Ahab's seal, and she stamped it as though the king has written a letter and has sealed it. And in the letter, Jezebel tells the elders of the land, when you receive this letter, set some scoundrels against Naboth. Say that he has spoken against the king and against God. And then have him stoned. Because in the Old Testament, even in the time of Jesus, you are not considered guilty unless some people have witnessed against you. So let's go to 1 Kings 21. We'll read 9 and 10. 1 Kings 21, 9, 10. In those letters he wrote, proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat two scoundrels opposite him and have them bring charges that he has cursed both God and the king. Meanwhile, this young man has not cursed the king. He has not cursed God. But she writes, and this is a lie. And then you got people who are also liars. And then they did this deceitful thing. They knew that he has not cursed anybody. But because they want to satisfy the whims and caprices of the queen, they did it. Now, then take him out and stone him to death. They did it, and Naboth was killed. When the news came to her that Naboth is dead, he went to the husband and said, my friend, I've gotten you the vineyard. Go and take possession of it. This is wickedness in the highest order. That is why she was eaten by dogs. See, we do things and we think that God up there is not seeing it. He's seeing it. And sometimes he takes revenge on us. If we are Christians, let us show that we are Christians. Don't let us behave as if we are not the children of God. Let us be very careful with our tongue and our deeds. Let's watch that closely. Our tongue and our deeds. Liars are hypocrites. What did I say? Liars are hypocrites. Now, hypocrites are masqueraders. You see, sometimes you see these young men with some masks. They put a face on their face. So what you see is not their face. They are masqueraders. They are pretenders. Hypocrisy is to deceive others. When someone is a hypocrite, he doesn't deceive himself. He knows that I am the one in the mask. But the mask is to tell you that I am not the person. So hypocrites deceive others. But you see, when you make lying a habit, habit is what we repeatedly do. Anything that we repeatedly do is a habit. Now, it builds into our character. So when you are a hypocrite and you keep telling lies, you graduate into what we call duplicity. Duplicity is now deceiving yourself and telling yourself it doesn't matter. Because when he started deceiving others, he was enjoying it. And now he deceives others, he deceives himself, and he says that it doesn't matter. Sometimes, young men can say that man should survive. Man must eat. The first day he picked somebody's money, he was a bit remorseful. But somehow, he has deceived someone. Now he keeps picking people's money. And now when he picks someone's money, He doesn't even feel it. And he tells himself, this is a method of survival. So he has graduated from hypocrisy to duplicity. He has become a duplicate of himself. Something else, not himself. He is something else. The whole of Matthew 23 speaks about hypocrisy. So when you go home, please study Matthew 23. You see that one. Ephesians 4:19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. They now lose all sensitivity because they have kept practicing lies. They have kept practicing lies until now. They lie and they don't feel it. Sometimes they even lie and they say that the Almighty God will not see it. Let's read Psalm 73, verse 11. Psalm 73, verse 11. And this one I want us to read together. Ready, go. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? Now they have even moved from duplicity. Now they are apostates. They think that, we don't have anything to do with God. We don't have anything to do with God. But brothers and sisters, are we together? If you are here, let me see by show of hands. Yeah, don't practice lying. If you start practicing at this age, by the time you grow to be me, you are a dangerous man. Don't practice it. Did you hear that the Bible said that Satan entered Judas? Yeah. If you keep doing these things, soon you have a character that looks like that of Lucifer. And I don't want any of us to look like that. Please. There are six things that God hates. The seventh is an abomination. Let's go and examine the seven things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Now the word hate and detestable are of the same root. But when somebody says that somebody detests something, it is stronger than hate. So he's saying that there are six things that God hates. Seven are detestable. Just trying to just play on words. That God hates or God detests the seven things. Or it could also mean that there are six things that God hates. The seventh one, God does not like it at all. But let's look at it closely. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him. Hasty eyes, that is pride. Arrogance, God hates arrogance. A lying what? Tongue. A lying tongue. Hands that share innocent blood. Hands that share innocent blood. God hates that. And then a heart that devises wicked schemes. It is also deceit. It is also lying. You devise wicked schemes. Like David devising means to kill Uriah. He shed innocent blood and still his heart devised that scheme. Like Jacob devising schemes to steal the birthright and the blessing from Esau. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. So the issue of the tongue and lying and deceit has taken about five of the seven things already. A person who stirs up conflict in the community. God hates that. Now, in periods like this, it doesn't matter the political divide that you are. If you stir conflict in the community, the Bible says God hates it. Don't keep telling people to do that which is evil. You must be agents of peace. God hates these things. See, our world today, brothers and sisters, it's full, I don't want to say full of lies, but Let me say that truth is falling in the streets. Isaiah 59 from verse 13. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies. Our heart have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Can we read the next line together? Truth has stumbled in the streets, and honesty cannot enter. It says that truth has fallen in the streets, and honesty cannot enter. So in the world that we are living in, truth has really fallen in the streets, and honesty cannot enter. If you want to be very honest and very just in a certain community, they will crush you down. Because here we don't deal with truth. Because truth is falling down in the streets. That is the world we live in. Why is it so? Because the devil is the ruler of this fallen world. And his nature is what we learned last week. Let me remind you of the nature of the devil. John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That is the nature. So if the devil is a ruler of the fallen world, then he has affected this world with his nature. So truth cannot be found. It is falling in the streets. At your workplace, truth is falling. If you want to be very honest, sometimes people gun at you. But you see, we have to stand out as men and women of God among the crowd. Those of us of the church, we are of a different brand. 1 Timothy 3 verse 14. 1 Timothy 3:14. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So the church is a pillar and foundation of the truth. When we are talking about pillars, we are talking about something that is concrete. When we are talking about foundation, we are talking about something that is concrete. So far as the church is concerned, the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Truth may fall in the streets, in the world, but not in the church. But the church is you and the church is me. So that when we go to our workplaces, there may not be truth there, but you should produce the truth. You should make the difference. If the devil is in you and you tell lies, no problem, because he is a liar. But if Christ is in you, let's jump to John chapter 1, verse 14. If Christ is in you, what manner of person ought you to be? Now, the word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. And let's read the very last line. Full of what? Full of grace and truth. As the devil is full of lies and there is no truth in him, James says that God, there is no shadow of turning in him. There is no any deceit. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is full of truth. So if we claim that we are children of God, and we claim that Jesus is in us, then let us make the difference. Let's resurrect truth on the streets. Let's get it up again. Let's get truth wherever you are. Don't tell lies by words, neither do that by actions. In both cases, God reads. And if the intention is evil, the intention is to deceive, then you are a liar. I pray that we don't belong to that category of people. Let people know that we can possess the nations by letting the truth drive out the lies. Let us let our light shine wherever we are. Let us prove to people that we are a branch of Jesus. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you go to work, where you are sitting, you are a branch of Christ. So it is like Christ who has branched to your workplace. Reflect him. Let the world see him, that you are of Christ. Let's lift truth up. Honest integrity. A people who are faithful to the little, and God will give you much. Let the Lord God up there smile on you, because you are reflecting his glory. Shall we rise to our feet? We are going to pray. And we are still going to pray with the same scripture we prayed with last week. Briefly, Proverbs 30 and verse 7 and 8. Proverbs 30, 7 and 8. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And then he said that, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. If you mean that you have to just be content with the little that you have to stay truthful, then this man is saying, I want to stay truthful. Don't let me plunge myself into any kind of trouble by wanting to be rich. But we are not against riches. I wish that all of us are millionaires so that we can support this church to continue to possess the nations. But if by doing that, you plunge yourself into all kinds of trouble, then godliness with contentment is a great gain. But let us continue to pray that, Father, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Shall we pray together?
That's your grace.
Use the same mouth. You know yourself. If for anything you are living in deceit, there are certain women who can live in deceit. Even though they are married couples, they still live in deceit. Some men live in deceit, but God knows all these things. The way you make money, God knows it. The invoicing and that you do, the receipts you carry to your bosses that aren't good receipts, that are full of lies, God knows it. May we repent and let us ask God to make us like Jesus. Amen. Before I ask one elder to pray, just open your eyes and I want to ask you a question. How many of you prayed? Let me see by show of hands. If you prayed, the matter is about yourself. So when we come here and we make the church all about Satan, 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 just live clean and Satan will be afraid of you. The matter is about yourself. We think that church is only coming here in deliverance. No. Tomorrow by this time, God will make a way. God makes the way for the righteous. We pray for certain things, fine. But you see, when the matter is about you, now you cannot even speak for the next person to hear. But I thank God. I pray that it becomes a time of repentance and godly fear, so that we turn away from evil. Shall we bow our heads again? Then let me respectfully ask our first presiding elder, Elder Dami, to come and pray.
We just want to worship you and adore you for the impact of your word in our lives. You have called us to be like you, so that we will reflect you wherever we are. The devil is a liar, and everyone who lies is a child of the liar, of Satan. But this morning you have admonished us to do away with lying, and Lord, live a life of truth wherever we are. Our words and our deeds to reflect you wherever we are. I pray in the name of Jesus that whosoever has accepted you as his Lord and personal Savior, Father, grant the person the fullness of the Spirit, O Lord, that we can live the divine life here on earth, even as you have bestowed your Spirit upon us. Let us be seen as children of light, O God, wherever we are. Help us to do away with all that is deceitful, all that is greed, all that is inimical to our spiritual growth. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to accept your word as given to us this morning. Practice it, O Lord. Make it part of us. And Father, wherever we are, we shall possess the nations to your glory. We thank you for the ministration, and we pray that you continue, O Lord, to anoint your servant, who you have called to lead this church, to impact not only the church, but the whole nation and the whole world through your word. Thank you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.